Hello, hello. I think we're going to get this whole thing started up here. Hi, my name is Chris Collins. I'm a co-curator of the series along with Joan Bauer, and I'm up here to welcome you guys here tonight. Thanks for coming out. We really appreciate it. Hi. What am I going to do? I am spitballing now because everything just went out of my head that I was going to say. As will happen. What I wanted to do is, in light of current events and what's happening in Los Angeles right now, I wanted to start us off tonight reading from two LA writers that I really love, pretty short pieces, just to get us in the spirit tonight. So I'll start there. My eyes hold out. So this first very, very short piece is by the writer John Fonte. Yes. Fans in the crowd. Love that. Love that. Crowd pleaser. So if you don't know Fonte, he wrote a lot of novels, a lot of short stories, but mostly he made his way as a screenwriter and doctoring screenplays for the studios. Recognition didn't really come to him until much later, but it did come, mostly through the republication of a lot of his work through Black Sparrow, really kind of reclaimed his work and put it out there, and wonderful writer, if you've not checked him out. So this is John Fonte, very short. Los Angeles, give me some of you. Los Angeles, come to me the way I came to you, my feet over your streets. You pretty town, I loved you so much. You sad flower in the sand. You pretty, pretty town. In this next short bit is by Jonathan Gold. Gold was a restaurant reviewer in L.A. And then eventually in New York, but he made his reputation in L.A. And he is the first food critic to win the Pulitzer Prize for criticism. He passed away in 2018, but there's a really great documentary about him. You can find it on YouTube and probably some other places. Well worth watching. A really wonderful writer. So I'm going to read the intro that he wrote to this collection of his Los Angeles restaurant reviews. Again, if my eyes hold out here. New glasses, sorry. For a while in my early 20s, my only clearly articulated ambition was to eat at least once at every restaurant on Pico Boulevard. Starting with the fried yuca dish served at a pupuseria near where the street began in downtown Los Angeles, and working methodically westward toward the chili fries at Tom's No. 5, near the beach. It seemed a reasonable enough alternative to graduate school at the time. After I'd finished work each day proofreading galleys at a legal newspaper near City Hall, I would walk to the next restaurant on Pico for dinner. Then I would buy an orange from a street vendor and catch a bus the rest of the way home. I lived on Pico, too, over a kosher butcher shop near Robertson. When the enormity of the adventure seemed overwhelming, I might buy a taco at one restaurant, a hamburger at the next, and a bowl of chilate y nugato at the third. I ate my way almost to Century City that year, from the El Salvador Cafe all the way to the old Roxbury Pharmacy Grill. I discovered the Persian-Jewish neighborhood around Beverly, the remarkable strip of soul food restaurants between La Brea and Fairfax, the pan-ethnic zone around Westwood. I ate at Pico restaurants, Mr. Coleslaw Burger, the Carnitas place on the corner of Vermont with old boxing snapshots on the walls, New Way, Chicken Georgia, Ben's Place, Kongju Goat Soup, Carl's Barbecue, that have since vanished, leaving no traces more obvious than a shiny patch of sidewalk or the ghost of a painted sign. I especially liked the neighborhood, mostly Central American, that had sprung up between Vermont and the Harbor Freeway. Thousands upon thousands of Guatemalans and Salvadorans who crowded Pico until dark, choosing toys from big displays set up in grocery store parking lots, buying mayonnaise-smeared ears of corn from street corner pushcarts. The restaurants in that neighborhood were good, too. And I learned to eat everything from marinated octopus at El Popo Loco to the griddle-baked Salvadoran corn cakes called pupusas, from El Parian's Jalisco-style goat stew to El Nica's giant Nicaraguan tamales, from Cuban fried rice to Guatemalan pepian to Ecuadorian mashed potato fritters called, excuse me on this one, lapingachos. Pico, in a certain sense, was where I learned to eat. I have spent the years since then working my way through the trenches of ethnic cooking in Los Angeles, hitting the first tentative cafes of Thais and Oaxacans, and Laotians as they made their way into the country, and tracking the increasingly complex restaurant cultures that resulted, as well as documenting the vast profusion of Mexican restaurants in East Los Angeles and the extraordinary torrent of Chinese cooking into the San Gabriel Valley, which is now among the most remarkable restaurant communities in the world. It means something, I think, when Thai people learn how to cook Vietnamese noodles for Hong Kong-born teenagers. And as big a fan as I am of authenticity, it probably means something good. If you live in Los Angeles, you become used to having your city explained to you by others, most frequently by others who jet in for a week or two and report on the world that they find within a few miles of the Beverly Hills hotel suites. Los Angeles is a city of nets, we are told, or a city of angles, the capital of the third world, or a universe captured wholly within the whirring, oversized Rolodexes maintained by Jeffrey Katzenberg. Sometimes visitors will stumble across, say, a Cambodian neighborhood, large and self-sustaining enough for a person with modest needs to spend his entire life speaking nothing but Khmer, and naively assume that nobody on the West Side or in Pasadena has experienced such a thing. But we have. And I have been lucky enough to have been able to write about Los Angeles cooking as an Angeleno. Metropolitan Los Angeles can be an overwhelming place, endless and illogical, stretching for hundreds of miles on some axes until the city grid melts into the desert, high mountains, or the sea. 100 different languages are spoken in the hallways of the city's high schools. Do you crave Chinese food? The local Chinese Yellow Pages weighs in at close to 2,500 pages. Have you a taste for Central American cooking? There may be as many as 500 Salvadoran restaurants in central Los Angeles, and at least half of them are pretty good. Los Angeles is the best place in the country to eat the cooking of Thailand and Burma, Guatemala and Ethiopia, Taiwan and any of a dozen states in Mexico. While sometimes it seems as if the rest of the country still struggles to redefine the modern American chop house, Los Angeles is a city where a great meal is as likely to come from Koreatown or the 3 million strong Mexican community as it is from Beverly Hills, a city where inspiration is often as close as the cold case of the local Vietnamese deli. What I'm trying to say, I think, is that the most authentic Los Angeles experiences tend to involve a mild sense of dislocation, of tripping into a rabbit hole and popping up in some wholly unexpected location. The greater Los Angeles cooking, real Los Angeles cooking, has first a sense of wonder about it, and only then a sense of place, because the place it has a sense of is likely to be somewhere else entirely. Los Angeles is, after all, where certain parts of town have stood in for Connecticut or Indiana, so often on TV that they look more authentic than the real thing. Where neighborhoods are called Little India, Little Tokyo, Little Central America, and Koreatown. Where a typical residential block might include a couple of Spanish haciendas, a Tudor mansion, two thatched Cotswold cottages, a Palladian villa, and a cream puff of an imitation Loire Chateau. As people here like to say, often when contemplating a piece of Peruvian-style sushi, or one of the teriyaki donut stands that have popped up in a Quentin Tarantino flick, only in L.A. I think both writers just have such a beautiful love and vision of their city. And I just want to share that with you guys tonight. Next up, I'm going to turn things over to Miss LA herself, Joan Bauer.